Go back into South Bend's history. 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, and what do you see? You see groups of people working to bring change to the city. They had different ideas of what that change should be. They didn't always agree, and their problems sometimes looked different than ours. But in every era, there were groups of people for whom positive change was their life goal. This podcast, South Bend's Own Words, features the voices of people who helped make the city change. We'll play you selections from the Civil Rights Heritage Center's Oral History Collection with the goal of telling you a more complete history of the city. It's the story of many cultures, not just one. It's the story of South Bend. Paula Gonzalez came with her family to South Bend in 1948. They came through the migrant farm track from Texas. As a child, she spent a few months working with her family on the farms. She then spent the rest of her life with organizations trying to make migrant farm work safer. One of those organizations was El Centro Cristiano de la Comunidad. Through El Centro, migrant farm workers found work, housing, education, food, and other necessary services. She also worked with LULAC, the League of United Latin American Citizens. They're a nationwide civil rights organization with chapters across the United States, including South Bend. In 2004, Indiana University South Bend Civil Rights Heritage Center's Les Lehman and David Healy went to chat with Ms. Gonzalez in her home. They talked about her brief time working on the farm, how she worked to help other migrant farm workers, and moving into what was then a mostly Polish neighborhood in South Bend.
Paula Gonzalez. Why don't you tell us, how you got here and why?
Well, my brothers were here in South Bend, and we were in Texas. I was working with my mother and another brother, and the three older ones were traveling as migrants. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then one year they convinced me to come because I was working in the picking house in the canning house in Edinburgh, Texas. In the morning, we picked the green tomatoes and then go home, freshen up, and go to the packing house. And same thing with the ripe tomatoes, canning house, picking in the morning and go and freshen up again. You can imagine all green with the...
Oh, yes.
And
I grew up on a farm, and I know it's dirty, yes.
And then canning tomatoes. We were not canning, but we put them in the cans.
Yes.
And then the machine would take care of it.
Yeah.
From there, we came to Traverse City, Michigan, my brother and another sister, and it was closer here. So my brother, married brother, was here in South Bend. So we came to visit him, and they encouraged us to stay. So we stayed with my brother, and then I started working on the fields. I think it was Martinblad, weeding the mint.
Okay.
And tapping onions, that's what they call it, getting the green, the dry.
Mm-hmm.
And clipping up with those, what they call it? Those big boxes. Cribs? No.
Cribs?
I think so, yes. And stack them up four times.
Yeah, crates probably, yeah.
Yeah, four. And then the trailer will come, the hay trailer came and pick them up and take them. Yeah.
Now, this was at the Martinblad farm?
Yes, yeah. It was 1948, yeah.
Housing was often a problem for...
The migrant workers.
For the migrant workers.
Mm-hmm.
It was a problem for African Americans, too, when they came. To your knowledge, when more and more migrant workers came,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Did problems arise about that? Were there places...
The only problem was no furnace, no nothing. It was just single room.
Right.
For a family, it was hard, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of the
might. It was hard.
Be mm-hmm. very difficult.
Yeah, we didn't have things that we didn't have. Because of my brother, he was here.
He was here. What did your brother do?
He was working in Oliver.
Okay, he was at Oliver. Mm-hmm. What did your husband do before he retired?
He was in the school corporation, custodian.
Custodian?
Mm-hmm. But he worked at South Bend Ranch. For a few years.
Okay, yeah. South Bend Range, mm-hmm. and then, so you had a number of manufacturing type jobs that
mm-hmm.
were available.
Mm-hmm.
So there really, when you came here, there were not many other people from...
I would say the second generation, or whatever you call it.
Yeah, would have come. When would that have been? Were there...
After that, I don't remember, 57 or something.
Okay.
So I don't... I didn't have much time to enjoy with the kids or teenagers of my age or anything.
Right.
I did because I was working in the farm.
So. Working all the time. Mm-hmm,
all the time. Mm-hmm. And from there, my sister-in-law got me a job here in White Swan Laundry. You remember? Here? No?
No, I don't remember it. No.
You owned a restaurant here in town?
Yes. Twice, and across the street from Harrison School.
So you were an entrepreneur, a business owner here in South Bend.
Well, you can call that because when we receive a Lulac magazine, we have a Lulac magazine monthly, and all of a sudden I saw my name there, entrepreneur, business something. I don't know who did that.
Did you do that after you retired? Is that what you did?
No.
You did it while you were still working?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, when you said you were hired at Notre Dame, what were you hired to do?
I was on the, what they call it, a serving line behind the counter.
Oh, in the cafeteria?
In the cafeteria, yeah.
I see.
A dining hall. Okay. And then when I retired, I was in the cafeteria and staff dining hall.
Okay.
Yes.
And you retired when?
1992.
Okay.
Two years. Only two jobs I had here in South Bend. White Sun Laundry and Notre Dame.
Except for the migrant work that
you
did before.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh.
But I wasn't, only 3 months I was in the farm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. How old were you when you started working in the farm?
11, I would say.
Were younger children allowed to work at some farms and not other farms?
No, no children. No, teenagers only, teenagers, but not.
Oh, so it was up to the parents as to when they started their children working.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If okay. They let them go, or you know, uh-huh. some places they cannot because it's dangerous. But other than that, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm.
I was reading in some of these articles that migrant workers made anywhere from 65 cents maybe to $1.50 an hour, depending on what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you came to South Bend and you learned English and you got a good job. But I also
72 cents an hour.
Is that what you paid at the farm?
Mm-hmm. No. At
Notre
Dame, 72 cents an hour.
Wow,
that's not much better than they did on the farm.
I know. Mm-hmm. Well, when you moved into this neighborhood, were there other people?
Polish people.
It was Polish people. Polish neighborhood.
And my, but it was Polish people.
When did it start to become Spanish?
Yeah. They had a sign at the railroad, little Mexico.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Most of them is Mexicans now over here.
It is, yes.
Yes, yes. I think everybody, yes. Right. The whole block over here, and I think the next one also.
When did do you remember when you began to notice that you had lots of Mexican neighbors?
Well, after my neighbors left here.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them died, passed away.
Has that been in the last 20 years?
Oh, longer than that.
Okay.
Longer than that.
At some point along the way, you got involved in, before there was LULAC,
mm-hmm.
you got involved in organizations or community activities that were aimed at addressing the needs of the migrant laborers or the people from Mexican descent especially.
Well, say I was involved, but not too much involved, just helping. You
okay.
Know.
Mm-hmm. But you did join LULAC.
Mm-hmm.
You did participate in the activities at El Centro.
Yeah, yes. And with El Campito when it was Andana.
What kind of need did it meet for you? A social outlet, an educational outlet?
It was both.
Okay.
Both, because to be in the social life, I never had social life.
You had no time
no,
for
no
social
time.
Life.
Mm-hmm. So for me, it was two things that I enjoyed.
The El Centro was basically started to help migrant workers who decided to stay here in South Bend. El Centro also was very active in distributing food.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, there was a people from the working with the government for food,
mm-hmm.
and other groups, Council of La Raza,
mm-hmm.
with the Parra.
El Centro's main focus was food distribution, but gradually it changed to education and child care.
Yes.
You said you learned English here.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have organized classes for migrant workers?
I don't know for my workers, but they didn't have time because they worked, like they told my husband, from sundown, sun up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was no time for nothing like that. Yeah. But when they moved to town, they took the advantage.
They had classes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. At night, I went to adult education because I have no need in Texas. I have no need for English.
Yes, right.
So I learned whatever I know, I learned it here, hard way.
Well, how much schooling did you have?
In Texas? I was part-time in Mexico. Yeah, in 1935, my father, it was the United States when I was born. I mean, when my father was there, Hueco or somewhere there. But then 1935, I think I was 5 or something years old, I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
The state of Hidalgo, you know.
Yeah.
And from there, I went 6 years, of course, in Mexico, in Spanish, you graduate from 6th grade, you know. But then I didn't have my diploma because I was in Texas, Santa Cruz, Texas, Edinburgh, something around there, and to take care of my brothers, cook for them, be a housekeeper.
Yes, right.
And that's what I said. I didn't know no English, but then I learned it here. What I learned, my sister who came with me here to South Bend, I sent her to school, Catholic school, parochial, and so I was working all the time. So
yeah, didn't have time for school.
No time.
Yeah. What other organizations? We know that El Centro closed or ceased being El Centro, and they created La Casa de Amistad.
Hard for me to remember.
Sure, but quite a long time ago.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. La Casa de Amistad was first on Warren Street. And from Warren Street, it's where it is now.
Oh, Mead
Street. Uh-huh. Which over here was Father Phelan. And still, if you go to La Casa de Amistad, it's Father Phelan's picture.
Okay, that's who that is. Mm-hmm. What were the big concerns for the Hispanic residents, as the population grew bigger, what were the major concerns?
Well, right now, it's just the newcomers.
Okay.
They want to have their license and so on and so forth.
Documentation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did it change? Did the community change? Did the self-consciousness of being Hispanic, did that change over time?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any competition between, say, those from Puerto Rico and those from Mexico?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
No. But they do have different wording, different...
Yes, it is different.
Words for the same... It's like me when I was working. They said it was a person, I guess it was Anglo person. They couldn't say Mexicano.
Uh-huh.
So he or she said Mexicano. So that's why they came with the word Chicano.
Mexicano.
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 Mexicano. They wanted to say Mexicano, but they couldn't say the whole word.
I see. Mexicano.
So they say Mexicano. So they cut off the Mexi and put Chicano.
Mexicano.
Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of people, angry people because of the word. No, not everybody wants to be called Chicano. Mexicano. Or Mexican-American, if you were born in the United States. Mexican-American. Because we come from Mexican descent.
Mm-hmm.
Our ancestors were Mexican. And then we born in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So Mexican-American.
Okay.
Well, for one word, maybe they don't like Hispanics because Hispanics also means from Spain.
From Spain,
yeah.
Right.
And not everybody is from Spain.
Right.
I am like a, there's a Mexican song that runs through my veins. I have on my veins blood Indian, Spanish, and Mexican.
Uh-huh.
See? So that's probably right. Why they don't like the Spanish.
This is a plaque describing Hispanic Heritage Month. It says the Hispanic Heritage Month started in South Bend in 1979. It was originally declared in 1968 by President Lyndon B. Johnson that the week of September the 15th would officially recognize and commemorate the Hispanic achievements throughout American history. And Mrs. Gonzalez was responsible for starting it here in South Bend.
South Bend's Own Words is made possible by executive producer Kevin Tid Marsh and me, George Garner. September 15th through October 15th is Hispanic Heritage Month across the United States. But with so much uncertainty facing the children of undocumented workers who signed up for the DACA program, we urge you to take steps to support them. Call your members of Congress. Support local and national businesses that protect immigrants. Volunteer at a local organization. For more information on how you can help, we urge you to visit La Casa de Amistad. There's a link to their website in the show notes. Want to see and hear more about South Bend's history? Our archival collection is online at Michiana Memory, a partnership with the St. Joseph County Public Library. Go to michianamemory.sjcpl.org. Special thanks to Civil Rights Heritage Center Director Daryl Heller for his guidance and support for this project. Learn more about the center and how it changed a formerly segregated South Bend swimming pool into an active learning center dedicated to sharing the history and contemporary issues around civil rights and social justice. Visit us in person or online at crhc.iusb.edu.